I am against the celebration of Mother's Day. Now, before you get Blair's tomatoes out to throw at me, that was the sentiment of an Anna Jarvis. I don't know that she used those exact words, but it was the sentiment that she had years ago. And you say, well, who in the world is Anna Jarvis? Anna Jarvis was the person who created the celebration of Mother's Day. Back in 1908, after a couple of years of seeking to get people interested in a day that would honor mothers, they first celebrated Mother's Day. Anna Jarvis, by the way, was from Grafton, West Virginia, not too far away. And the idea of setting aside a day to particularly honor mothers caught on quickly. In fact, it only took 6 years, and in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially signed into law a proclamation setting aside the second Sunday in May as officially Mother's Day. Anna Jarvis was very particular in that the day was M-O-T-H-E-R apostrophe S day, the singular possessive, not mothers without an apostrophe in a plural, or mothers in a plural with the apostrophe at the end making it a possessive, but a singular possessive. Her desire was not a mass celebration, but a celebration by the masses of their individual mothers. Unfortunately, the celebration in its popularity changed in a very short period of time until it became what I believe Anna Jarvis termed as a Hallmark holiday. She was particularly upset that people were too lazy to write personal notes to their mothers and instead went out and bought impersonal greeting cards. And the holiday became highly commercialized. And in 1923, she officially went on record as opposing the holiday she created, at least the way it was being celebrated. And I want you to know that I think she had some points. Consider it, if you will. In fact, I'm even going to go a little bit farther than what she did and say that there really shouldn't be a day set aside to honor mothers, whether corporately or individually. There should be 365 days set aside to honor mother. And it doesn't necessarily take a written note, whether created by Hallmark or some other company, or one penned personally. It doesn't necessarily take a present of whatever things there may be. I think it takes a lifestyle. I would suggest to you today that the best way in which to honor mothers is to live a biblically faithful life. Normally on Mother's Day, I speak to the mothers and say, okay, here's what the Scripture says a mother is all about, and here's what you should be. For the most part, ladies, this morning, you can take the morning off. I will be speaking to the husbands and to the children as to how to relate to your mothers. So, take the day off. What in the world am I saying? You can take half the message off. There are some things in here that I trust that you will take heed to. If you will, turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to begin by speaking to husbands. For you see, in the righteous plan of God, the order is marriage, then children. It is assumed in the righteous plan of God that if there are children, there is a husband. Now, that is not always the case, even in the righteous plan of God, if death has taken place of a spouse. But generally speaking, where there is a child and a mother, there is a husband. So I want to speak to husbands this morning. Actually, I believe God wants to speak to husbands this morning through me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, deal with how wives are to relate to their husbands. But then beginning at verse 7, Peter writes this, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." In this one verse of Scripture, I see two commands and a consequence. Command number one to the husbands is this, dwell with your wife according to the knowledge that she is created differently from you. Specifically, Peter says that she is to be given honor as unto a weaker vessel. Back in Genesis chapter 1, we read that in the beginning of creation, God created mankind and created them in the image and likeness of God. That is, there is an ability for both male and female to reason, to think, to logically conclude things. There is an ability for both male and female to express emotions, to love, to hate, to grieve, to sorrow, to joy. There is an ability for both male and female to determine a will and to enact it. This I will do, this I will not do. God created both male and female with the same ability, created in the image and likeness of God. But then the Scripture says, male and female created He them. Obviously, there were anatomical differences in the creation of God, and those anatomical differences indicated a difference in specific purposes. Here, Peter is saying, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And I want you to understand that this does not indicate, this difference does not indicate a difference of superiority or inferiority. All it indicates is a difference. Suppose this morning I wanted to hang a picture on the pulpit here, and I pulled out a nail to hang that picture on, and I went down to the hardware store and I spent about $10 and I bought myself a hammer. That hammer was probably made out of a handle of wood and a little piece of steel on the end of it. Would not have a whole lot of value to it, but it would be perfectly suited to do the job. Well, I say to myself, you know, I don't have a hammer on hand. I don't feel like going to the hardware store today. Does someone here have a smartphone that they could lend me? And I say to you, who has a smartphone that they will not lend me? But you have one. You have a smartphone with you. Don't be afraid. Jess, you have one with you? You do. Do you mind if I ask a personal question? Is it expensive? It is? About how much does it cost?
The bill or the phone?
The phone. About $100. It would be about 10 times more valuable than that hammer that I bought. But yet that smartphone would not be suited for the job of hammering in a nail. It would break up immediately upon the first hit. Simply because something is stronger or weaker does not indicate inferiority or superiority. It indicates a difference of specific purposes. And God is saying here to us that, gentlemen, in living with your life, live with her recognizing the knowledge that she is created for a different purpose. She is a weaker vessel. Generally speaking, husband and wife are having an arm wrestling contest, the husband is going to win, generally speaking. I'm just going to keep moving on before I get into trouble. in light of that? I think there are some things that husbands should be doing in their activity to recognize this created difference and honor his wife. I don't think there is a door that a woman should open if a man is within distance. Is she strong enough to open the door? Yes, she is. I don't think that she should have to. I think some of these things not only is true of physical strength, oftentimes it is of emotional strength. Generally speaking, guys are not good at showing emotions, generally speaking. I know I am not. I'll be quite honest with you. My best friend in the ministry passed away a couple of weeks ago. Mike Kelly was a dear, dear friend and brother. I held back tears when I went to comfort his mother. Other than that, I had no problems not crying at all. Did I have emotions? Absolutely. That was a dear, dear friend. Did I show emotions? Nah. That's not generally the same with women. That does not mean that one is better than the other. It simply means that one is different from the other. To say that I didn't care, or to say that someone is too emotional that sheds lots of tears, is simply out of line. Well, I think when you look at those things, I think the husband's responsibility is to recognize that things are going to be done differently and to understand those things and to give honor unto the wife and support emotionally during the hard times as well as the good times. But then here's a second command, not only to dwell giving honor as unto the weaker vessel, but to dwell with her with the knowledge that they are heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together. See, there's a reason that God made woman different from man. It's interesting if you go back into the scriptures. On each day of creation, when God had looked over what he had created, he said it is good. And on the sixth day when man is created, he didn't say that until woman was created. You see, man was incomplete without woman. God said it was not good for man to be alone. And that's a general statement. There are cases in the New Testament where Jesus speaks of those who will remain single for the service of ministry, and that's fine. But generally speaking, it is the woman in her differences that completes the man. That's why I'm against gay marriage. It's against the plan of God. God created a man and a woman in their differences coming together and filling each other out. But where you have two of the same gender, you have two of the same emotional and physical and creative purposes, and they cannot complete each other. And consequently, when you try and create a family out of that, you have ruin. And people will say, oh, but the tests show nothing. You see, we haven't allowed this sin to perpetuate itself long enough, fortunately, that anyone can test the outcome of gay marriages and families. But I guarantee you, in that it's not the way God designed things to be, that time will prove me right. You see, God designed a man and a woman as heirs together of the grace of life. Scripture is supposed to change our lives. And I had to be changed by this, or I could not preach it this morning. Over the last 8 weeks, my wife has ministered to me and spoiled me rotten. Well, you say I was rotten to start with. Well, yeah, you're right. Well, I'm even worse now. I have come, not that I didn't before, I have come to appreciate her like never before. In fact, I had to put on my Facebook page this morning that early each morning I give thanks to God because I believe that life couldn't get any better than what it is. And then my wife wakes up and I find out it does. All right, since I'm getting mushy, one more medical story. Before my operation, they took me down to get a sonogram of the carotid arteries in my neck. And the technician said, "Mr. Reiner, you've got some pretty strong neck muscles." I looked at her and without a second's interruption, I said, "Well, my wife has been turning my head for 38 years. I don't know where that came from, but it just came out. Being heirs together of the grace of life. Notice the consequence, that your prayers be not hindered. When mothers, or in this case specifically wives, are honored by their husbands the way they should, God delights in accomplishing His will. When there is disunity in the family, the will of God is interrupted. Well, if I get any mushier, I won't be able to speak. Let's move on. Where there is a mother, there is a child. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me say something about mothers and children before we get into the scripture. I believe that life begins at conception. I believe the very moment the ovum in a woman's womb is fertilized, life is existent. That life may consist of only a one-celled being, but that one-celled being contains life because it's not stagnant. It's doing something within a very short period of time. It divides and multiplies. And consequently, in that there is life there, one must determine what kind of life exists. And the only logical conclusion is that life is human life. It's not plant life. It's not animal life. It's human life. And therefore, as a single cell fertilized ovum, it is a child. The very moment conception takes place, there is a child in the womb. And where there is a child, there is a mother. Motherhood begins at conception. Secondly, motherhood lasts a lifetime. In August of 1988, I officially began my responsibilities as a pastor at the Chapel on the Hill in Marietta, Ohio. 4 months later, December 18th, 1988, I was officially ordained into the gospel ministry. Basically, I had 4 months of incubation, and then I was born into the ministry. I officially became a pastor. I've had the privilege for 25 years of pastoring, and my own desires are that for the next 11 or 12 years, I continue to do the same. I'd like to pastor till I'm about 70 years old. It's what I'd like to do. We'll see. Maybe the Lord will give me a longer ministry than that. Maybe he'll give me a shorter ministry than that. But right now, that's what I'm shooting for. When I retire, I will still be referred to as Pastor Reiner, even though I am no longer pastoring. May I say that the same is true for a mother. The moment conception takes place, a woman becomes a mother. And while her responsibilities over the course of time may diminish, even the responsibilities end, the woman is still a mother. Therefore, there is some responsibility of the child. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Once again, two commandments and a consequence. First commandment, obey critically. Children, obey your parents when you agree with them. That's giving a whole lot of license. Obey your parents unquestioningly. No, that's going the opposite direction. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. First and foremost is the obligation of everyone here to be obedient to God. Secondly, to man. And consequently, Paul is writing that the primary responsibility is for children to be obedient to their parents when the parents are acting within the will of God. But be careful. It's easy when one wants to justify just about anything. I would tend to believe that in speaking to this congregation this morning, young people, that you're not going to have more than one instance out of a million where your parents are not acting within the will of God when they command you to do something. Because I am so privileged to pastor a congregation where there are godly mothers and fathers. So don't think that you're going to get a free pass on this one on many occasions. Obey critically. Yeah, but they don't understand my situation. Let's see. When your parents were born, how old were they? When they grew up, how old were they? I guess they never had friends when they were in school. I guess they never had problems growing up in the teenage years. And consequently, they don't have those experiences that you're experiencing now. And certainly they can't be of help to you. What planet are you from? For you see, times change, but people don't. That's what makes the Old Testament so interesting. We're doing a study in my Sunday school class now of the kings of the nation of Judah. Yeah, we're talking about history that started 930 B.C. So we're talking stuff that's nearly 3,000 years old. And yet the people that lived 3,000 years ago had the same basic problems that you and I experience today. And what's best about it is we have the same God today that has the answer to those same problems. And may I say to you that your parents probably have 20 years at least more experience in understanding the problems in God than you do. And consequently, when they speak, they can speak with that which is effectual. Secondly, obey critically, honor equally. Look at verse 2. This jumped out at me this morning. I really didn't have this in here until this morning. Honor thy father and thy mother. And mother. Who gets the greater honor? Well, the father's the head of the household according to Scripture, isn't he? Yes. Does he get the greater honor? No. And I've seen so many cases where children know how to manipulate their parents. When mom or dad says one thing and they go to the other and they can say, "Oh, but you know something different, don't you?" And that's preferring one over the other. That's honoring one over the other. In fact, it's not honoring the one, period. Obey critically, honor equally. When mom says something, give her the same honor as when dad says something. When dad says something, give her him the same honor as when mom says something. Don't go and get the two at each other. Because then we got real problems. What's the consequence? Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth, prosper exceedingly. I believe it was Mark Twain that said, children are fine until they reach the age of 12. At the age of 12, you put them in a barrel and feed them through the knot hole. When they turn 16, you plug up the knot hole. When they're 20, you let them out. This doesn't say that it may be well with thee that you can make it to the 20s. This says that you may live long on the earth. And that doing so, it may be well with thee. Both Carol and I have threatened our kids when they were younger that we hoped that one day they would get a child that was just like them. Our daughter Christy said, that came true. We did so in jest. We never, ever, in instructing our children, whether in positive instruction or disciplinary instruction, did we ever have the motivation, we're going to get back at you. It just isn't how you operate. In whatever we did, whether positively instructing or disciplinarily instructing, it was always because we wanted the best for our children. And may I say, every godly parent wants the best for their child. Young people, understand that even when your parents tell you something that you may not think is the best, they want the best for you. And obedience will bring long life and prosperity. And may I say to you, when husbands love their wives in the way that Peter said to give honor as unto the weaker vessel, as recognizing that they are heirs together of the grace of life, and when children obey and honor the way they are to do that, then people are living within the righteous dictates of the Word of God, and life works. And as you noticed, or should have noticed, in both of these passages, in both 1 Peter 3 and Ephesians chapter 6, there was no day given. These are commands for 365 days a year. Oh, I have no problems at all, really, with setting aside a day to do something special. That really isn't my beef. But setting aside one day of the year without doing the other things that are commanded 364 days of the year is hypocrisy. And I have a real problem with that. And I hope you do too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the righteous demands of God as to how we live. For your word always works. And we would do well to take heed to it. I thank you for the godly mothers that are here today. And Lord, I pray that the honor that is due them would be honor that is also deserved. But on the other hand, Lord, help each man and child to do that which is right, for it is profitable to us, because your way always works. Lord, give grace to each family today that we might display the glory of God to the world around us that just does not understand the ways of God. Use us for your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.